In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My dearly beloved, at this blessed Christmas tide, is there anything in the world more joyful than an encounter, a meeting with someone you love? You may have heard about these things, maybe seen one on the news. I actually experienced this many, many years ago. A soldier stationed in Afghanistan was snuck home, you know, by stealth to surprise his son for his 10th birthday. And so the boy, he doesn't have any idea that he's going to be seeing his father's come back, you know what I'm saying? And so they arranged the meeting to happen at the boy's Little League game. And the boy was batting leadoff, the very first batter. And they snuck his dad in, disguised as the umpire, you know, with the, you know, hat and chest protector and mask and everything. The dad is going to disguise his voice to postpone recognition, you know, for a little while. And so the pitcher, he throws the first pitch, clearly way outside, but the umpire calls it a strike. Strike one. And he just, well, you can't argue with the umpire, so he throws another one, you know. Strike two. And that one, too, is just way outside. Then finally, he just throws a wild pitch, and the umpire goes, strike three, you're out. And the boy, he just drops his bat and just, you know. And with that, the dad flipped off his mask. There was not a dry eye in the crowd. Is there anything more joyful than meeting someone you love? That is what today's gospel brings. Whenever this gospel is read, our Lord intends this to be a joyful meeting with the one we love. Now, 40 days after the Nativity, Mary and Joseph, in keeping with the Jewish custom of the time, brought the holy infant to the temple. Now, this 40th day of Christmas goes by many names because it is many things. It is, first of all, the purification of Mary. Mary makes the offering of the poor to turtle doves. It is secondly known as the presentation of the Lord. He is presented to the Lord. And the funny thing here is the word that we translate present means to offer in the same way that the sacrifices were offered in the temple. So in presenting him to the Lord, the holy infant evokes sacrificial language. He is handed over to God, given over completely to God. From now on, he belongs to God entirely. And the shadow of the cross falls upon the holy infant. So, the 40th day is these two things: the purification of Mary and the presentation of the Lord. But it is also a third thing, which is my focus this morning. It is also known as the meeting of the Lord, because there are two people in the temple who have been waiting to meet the long-expected one, the consolation of Israel, Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna are matching bookends. See, Anna is the feminine counterpart of Simeon. Now, both of them are getting along in years. Anna, a prophetess, is 84 years old. She was married for 7 years, but now with the last several decades, she has lived as a widow. She never departs from the temple. She has just hunkered down there, worshiping God by prayer and fasting night and day. Okay? She is quite simply at home in the temple. She lives with God and for God. Similarly, apparently, Simeon is an old man. He is described as righteous and devout. He lives his life from the Word of God, and his whole person is oriented towards God. And he too, like Anna, is inwardly close to the temple. He lives towards the Redeemer, the one who was to come. Because it had been told him in a special vision that he would not taste death until he had laid his eyes on the promised Messiah. But because they are inwardly close to the temple, the both of them are there when Mary and Joseph arrive in the temple carrying the 40-day-old baby. And through the corner of his eye, Simeon spots Mary and Joseph entering the temple with the baby. Now this affords us one of the most tender and beautiful pictures in the entire Bible. The old man, his hands trembling, takes in his arms, however tenderly and carefully, the tiny baby. And his dim eyes gaze into the brand new eyes of the Ancient of Days. And his mouth is opened for praise. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Well, you'll get a load of that. He calls that baby, that little baby, he calls salvation. But Simeon, he waited. He waited his entire long life. Truly to live is to wait, to look forward to a meeting. Simeon is the poster boy for expectation, this elderly man who spent his life waiting for the light to illumine the world, the joy that fills everything with itself. He waited, yes, he waited his entire long life. And surely this means he pondered, he prayed, and he deepened as he waited. So that in the end, his whole life becomes one continuous eve of a joyful meeting. Okay. Now, the church gives you Simeon's words to be your own. Okay. The church has always made generous use of Simeon's words, known liturgically as the Nunc Dimittis. First, to conclude your earthly life, you might want to speak the words of Simeon. Many, many pastors have spoken the words of Simeon to a church member as they are lying on their deathbed. Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, secondly, to conclude the day, we might want to sing the words of Simeon. From the earliest times, Simeon's words has become a part of the church's evening prayer. The Nunc Dimittis is incorporated into the evening service known as Vespers. So just when Vespers is winding down and you're reaching for your coat to go home, to go Betty by, the church sings, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant. Because you see, when we go to sleep and close our eyes, that is a little rehearsal for when you will close your eyes for the last time. You see, so it is fitting to close the day with the words of Simeon. Also, to conclude the sacrament, we sing the words of Simeon. Because we too have here met the Lord. But much more than Simeon. Simeon only held him in his arms. We have received into this bag of bones the vivified, resurrected body and blood of the Lord, which fills our aching bodies with the hope and the expectation that when we meet him at his appearance, we will be dressed in the kingly robes of immortality and life. See? And so after the chalice is pressed to our lips, we go right back to our pews and we sing, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Now, as the clock winds down on this old year, we hold our breath for what might be in store in the new year. When we put the new calendar up on the wall, isn't it a good time to ask, what am I waiting for? Just, what are you waiting for in the new year? Only for the inflation to go down? I asked myself this, what am I waiting for? Well, that was easy. I'm waiting for the Detroit Tigers to win another World Series. I've been waiting a long time. The last one was 1984. But am I waiting to encounter the essential? That is the question the meeting of the Lord poses. On New Year's Eve, many people will plunge themselves into parties of orgies and drunkenness. You know why people make noise on New Year's Eve? To drown out the sound of grass growing over their graves. Man lives like a caged bird. A caged bird just flaps and beats his wings against the cage because his is a trapped existence. A man lives in the fear of death. Ours is a caged existence, and we are only hurting ourselves in this fear. But my beloved, the meeting of the Lord brings liberation and freedom from the prison of death. And shouldn't that deepen our lives? And shouldn't it cleanse us of all that is petty and trivial and superficial? When I turned 40, long time ago, but when I turned 40, I distinctly remember my doctor telling me, it's all downhill from here. Thanks a lot, Sam. But you see, with the meeting of the Lord, even aging and our eventual demise can become growth and an upward ascent to that mighty crescendo when we will say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. I have seen the light which illumines the world. I have seen the divine child which brings so much love. Nothing is feared. Now all is peace, thanksgiving, and love. That is what the meeting of the Lord brings. It celebrates the soul meeting love. Love with skin and bones. You remember, I talked to you in Bible class once about C.S. Lewis's Narnia books. And so you remember that Aslan the lion is to Narnia just what Jesus is to our world. The dying and rising Savior who redeems Narnia from the tyranny of the White Witch. But do you remember the very, very first time Aslan is mentioned in the Narnia books? Okay? And the children begin to look forward to meeting him. Right? Well, the White Witch, she held Narnia in the bondage of winter. Right? And under her tyranny, Narnia was a dismal place where it was always winter, but never Christmas. And then one day, the beaver gathered the children about him in a huddle, and they were all so close together that the children could feel the beaver's whiskers tickling their faces. And then the beaver told them in a low whisper, "They say Aslan is on the move. Perhaps he has already landed." And do you remember the children's reaction? And now a very curious thing happened, Lewis writes. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do. But the moment the beaver had spoken these words, everyone felt quite different. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump in his inside. Peter felt suddenly brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if some delicious smell or some delightful strain of music had just floated by her. And Lucy got the feeling you have when you wake up in the morning and realize that it is the beginning of the holidays or the beginning of summer. That, my friends, is what I, however feebly, have been trying to say. That is what the meeting of the Lord brings. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Mary. Amen.
Amen.